Good morning, or maybe this is good afternoon, depending upon when it is that you have a chance to listen to this. I am, first of all, wanting to say how much it is that I am missing everybody. It has been a difficult time in regards to that, missing being with you. And I'm hoping that, I'm sure all of us are hoping that this time will end soon. And I realize that for some, maybe this has been an okay break, but for others, I'm sure it's trying possibly, but also some of the unknowns that we haven't yet known what will take place. But it's not so much talking about that; it's just talking about the time that that we have allotted to us right now. So I just wanted to share a few things with you this morning, and my intent is not to go too long. I know that there are many of my homilies that have been recorded, but this is the first time that I have ever done one without being with you, so it seems a bit strange. And because I don't really know how to edit things, it's going to be pretty much a raw version. So I just hope and pray that you will be encouraged, and the Lord will bless you during this time. So what I wanted to do was just to share five brief things with you. And the first one is from the gospel of 2 weeks ago, which was Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well, a passage that's very well known to us. And what I wanted to target was just that verse where Jesus says, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That's verses 13 and 14. And what I wanted to say to you today, and to me as well, is what are we thirsting for? There's a passage in Isaiah 55:1 that says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water." Psalm 23:1-2, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Psalm 1:1-3, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." So as I said in this first point, what is it that you and I might be thirsting for? In some of these passages that I just read to you, it talks about in Psalm 23 about the Lord being the only thing that we want, and He alone can lead us by that place where there is the still waters, not the stormy, mucky, murky, disturbed water, but the still waters. And everyone who thirsts, come to only He who can quench that thirst. And in that Psalm 1, you know, the warning about where it is that we walk and where it is that we stand and where it is that we sit. And it's not just about the directives to do with the coronavirus in the natural, but it's also about in the supernatural, about being conscious if we have this time allotted to us now, to be aware of where is it that we have been walking? Where is it that we have been standing? Where is it that we have been sitting, and who have we been doing it with? There are so many voices out there right now clamoring for our attention. Voices that want us to pay attention to this or that and maybe get disturbed, removing us from the still waters. Or thinking that he who has the ability to quench, maybe he doesn't have everything that we need, and yet we know instinctively that that's not true. But it's recognizing to be very conscious that he would have us be planted by the river of living water so that whatever we do will prosper. The Lord wants to prosper us. It's a time for looking at what it is that he may be doing so that we don't miss the opportunity of the still waters. We don't miss the opportunity of being planted where we can prosper. And we be conscious and circumspect of where it is that we can spend time standing or walking or sitting and potentially listening to that which is not helpful to us at all. So in this first point, it's just simply putting before all of us what it is that we may be thirsting for, and to know that the Lord thirsts for us. He said that from the cross, "I thirst." And the scriptures are true in saying that a way of understanding that passage is Christ is thirsting for us. Are we thirsting for him? It's not a judgment or a criticism. It's certainly not a condemnation, but it's an invitation to use this time to ask the Lord to give us such a thirst for him as we experience his thirst for us. The second point that I wanted to share with you is from today's gospel, or rather, this Sunday's gospel. And that's from the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And again, it's a very, very well-known passage to all of us. And I just wanted to draw our attention that when Jesus calls Lazarus forth from the tomb, he directs those who are standing around him to remove those grave cloths from him so that he can go free. Again, just looking at this passage from the perspective that maybe at times each of us play the role without even understanding the fullness of it, of being a Lazarus or being those who are standing around Lazarus. Now we know that when we have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Lord and Savior, that we have become a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation in Christ, and we are seated in Christ, Ephesians 2, and we are hidden in Christ, Colossians 3. We know that. But there can be times in our life, in this pilgrimage that we are on, that we can also be aware that it seems as though that we're not as free as we would like to be, that there can still be some grave cloths that are wrapped around us. Might this possibly be a time of also asking the Lord if there are any of those grave cloths that still want to stick to us? That old man that died and was crucified with Christ sometimes still clamors and yells at us for attention. But we are reminded not to pay attention to that. But sometimes that can be so familiar that it can almost captivate us. And so we can look at that and say, "Lord, I think that might be one of those grave cloths that needs to finally come off, so that I'm free, because I know that you have raised me from the dead and you've called me beloved, child, daughter, son, friend." But those grave cloths can be all too familiar at times. So in the very midst of our thirsting for him and his thirsting for us, he can also maybe reveal some areas that we still need to be freed up, that we do not pay attention to those voices that can clamor for our attention. And at times, we can be like the one who's called to cooperate with the Lord, to have that incredible gift of interceding and praying for those who need to have those grave cloths removed. In other words, we're the ones standing around Lazarus now, as opposed to having been Lazarus. And to know that this can also be a time when the Lord can reveal to your heart, not out of judgment, not out of criticism, in interceding for others, interceding for situations, even interceding, as all of us are, for this situation to do with the medical community to have breakthroughs, for the government personnel to be able to have wise counselors around as they make decisions. And what this is going to look like as time progresses and how long this will last. But what does it mean to be in intercession and recognizing that there also needs to be grave cloths taken off the eyes and the ears, the hearts and the minds and the mouths of those whom the Lord would have us intercede and pray for? And again, not out of manipulation, not out of control, but out of a place where we have found ourselves by the still waters. We found ourselves planted by that river where whatever we do, the Lord wants to prosper us. And so we can do that with such delight with the time that we have now. The third thing that I had just wanted to share with you, and I've shared this over and over and over again, trying to make somewhat of a connection between what I've already said, and that is remembering that in every single scripture passage, I contend that every passage has the ability to bring to us revelation, liberation, and covenant. And we saw that first in the whole book of Exodus, but then you can approach individual passages that way and ask the Lord, Lord, bring me revelation. Help me see from heaven's perspective what it is that I'm reading, what it is that I'm drinking in, what it is that I'm hearing. Bring revelation, because every time the Lord brings revelation, it brings liberation. It can remove more of those grave cloths, or at least it can keep them at bay with their desire to in any way become attached again. And that liberation always leads to covenant, or another way of saying that is truth. And the truth does what? It always sets us free. And what is that freedom that Christ gives us through the truth? Is his love. So again, to look at this time and to say, Lord, bring me more revelation, bring me more truth, bring me more liberation, bring me more freedom, bring me more deeply into the covenant, more deeply into your love. Show me how it is that I can see where it is I need to be thirsting, and show me how it is that I too can be interceding and praying for others. I would also in this, to the fourth point, I just wanted to share with you briefly. You know, the last couple of years I have been referring to that book, Canoeing in the Mountains. And there's many parts of the book that are not apropos, but it's just that part where that group of Lewis and Clark, they found themselves in the Lemhi Pass thinking it was a quick journey down to the Pacific Ocean and recognized that there were well over 300 miles yet of mountain ranges. And they recognized they had no maps. And they didn't even know if they had the resources. And they had to make a decision. Do we want to go back to where it was, to where we were, to where we came from? Do we want to stay right here and just do what? Or do we want to take the risk and move forward and push on? Stacy was telling me, in fact, she read it to me just recently, a book by James Gall called The Seer, where in that, I will just tell you. James was talking about the fact that as Christians, we're not called to be settlers, we're called to be pioneers. And so as we look at what's going on right now, as part of the church, as part of the Bride of Christ, we look at ourselves individually and corporately and saying, Lord, how it is that we keep moving forward, knowing that we don't yet have a clear map in front of us, but you do. You know exactly where you are taking us. Can we trust you to take us there as pioneers, as adventurers, as explorers, not out of fear, but out of an opportunity to see the kingdom ever furthered. Because in this, you want us to be quenched by what it is that you can give to us. You want to continue to remove the grave cloths from us. You want to continue to bring us more revelation, liberation, and covenant. And you want us to push forward down through the Lemhi Pass to where you want to bring us, without a map, but trusting that you are going to lead us every step of the way. It sounds a bit like Joshua being told to lead the chosen people into the promised land as they crossed the Jordan, and the Lord spoke to him directly and said, I command you not to fear nor be dismayed, for I am with you wherever you go. That is the same right here, right now. The Lord is with us wherever we go. And then lastly, the fifth point. I will be at the church tomorrow from 9:30 to 11:30. And until things change, I will still be distributing communion. We'll have some worship music, and people can come and receive communion. And if they would like prayer, be happy to pray with you. I'm also doing the liturgy during the week, every day at noon. And if any of that time you would ever want to come by and receive communion or to be prayed with, I would be privileged to do that. We would be privileged to do that. I am aware that things may change, but that's where it is right now. This last Sunday, we had, I think, about 18 people that came, and we followed the guidelines that there were never more than 10 people, and some people just came and went, and then others stayed for a while. But I know the healing power in the Eucharist, and if you're not able to come to church tomorrow and you're not able to come to the daily liturgy, we can try to work something else out, and that is, if you would ever want me to bring communion to you, you just need to let me know. We'd have to figure out some logistics as to how we could do that. But we just want to be available as we proceed through this together. So hopefully this will be one of many of these that I can give to you, but under, I pray, very different circumstances. I love you very much. We love you. I miss you. We miss you. And we look forward to being with you soon. God bless you all.